You ever get discouraged in working for the Lord? You ever get just kind of down in the dumps and say, man, I am wasting my time. All this stuff I'm doing and I don't see any kind of results. I don't see anything that's happening that nobody knows I'm doing it. Nobody gives me any praise. Nobody appreciates what I'm doing. What I'm doing doesn't seem to help anybody. You ever get kind of down in the dumps? Just discouraged and depressed. I always say it's okay to get depressed if you know why you're depressed. If you get depressed and don't know why, you got a problem. But sometimes we get depressed just by looking at life and saying, I wish things were different. I wish that the things that we do for the Lord would have more visible results. I wish I could see that those people I spoke to about coming to church, it made a difference in their life. Or those family members that I pray for continually, that seems to be drifting farther and farther away from the Lord, that, Lord, why can't I see some kind of results? Why can't I see something happening? And we get kind of discouraged and down in the dumps. And I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll give you just a minute to look it up in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter. And I want us to look at just the last verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. We probably should take the time to study the whole chapter. The whole chapter starts out with the resurrection of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Then it talks about the eyewitnesses that saw him after the resurrection, that he really did come back to life, that the tomb was empty. They could recognize him. And then it talks about, in the last few verses, our own future resurrection. And it closes that by saying, therefore. And anytime you see therefore, you need to ask, what is it there for? Okay? The therefore refers back to what just went before, talking about the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The first thing he talks about is be steadfast and immovable. There are some things that do not change. There are a lot of things that do change. And it is very wise to know what things you can allow to change and what things you should not allow to change. That there are certain things that it's okay if these things change. It doesn't bother anything. There are certain things that they don't change no matter what. For instance, the Bible is the Word of God and our only rule of faith and practice. That doesn't change. Many, many people say it's outdated. It don't fit today. It is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. It does not change. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul says, be steadfast and immovable. I'm going to take my stand right here. I'm not going to move. The whole world can say it is outdated, it is old-fashioned, it does no longer works, it is no longer God's Word, it never was God's Word. They can say whatever they want to say. I'll take my stand right here. I've believed it for years and years. I'm not going to change. Occasionally somebody come and try to convince me something different. I'm not going to change. No need to waste your time. I'm not going to change. I believe it is God's Word. It means what it says what it means. And I believe it is the only rule of faith and practice. Now, it does not tell me everything. It doesn't tell me how to operate a computer. It doesn't tell me how to build a house. It doesn't tell me how to repair a car. But as far as my relationship with God is concerned, it contains everything I need to know. As far as my relationship with God is concerned, it contains everything I need to know. I don't need any extra books. I don't need the Book of Discipline to go with it. I don't need the Book of Mormons to go with it. I don't need the Pearl of Great Price to go with it. I don't need the Jehovah's Witness to explain to me what it means. All I need is the Word of God. It is complete. It is sufficient. It is superior to anything else ever written. Far superior to anything else ever written. Sometimes people ask me, well, why do you guys do certain things and don't do other things? And I said, because we're trying to just go by the Bible. Just trying to go by the Bible. I think I went to ministry in full-time in 1976. It's almost 2008. How long ago has that been? 30 years? 31 years? Whatever. Almost every youth minister I've ever dealt with came to me and said, Lee, why don't you like the church selling stuff? You know, we can have a car wash and we can have a barbecue and stew and we can raise all this money. Why don't you like that? And I said, God's already given us the way to finance the church. He's already told us. And it is far superior to anything that anybody else can come up with. Far superior. Nothing else comes close. So I don't have to sell pumpkins or Christmas trees or whatever to raise the money for the church. God has already said, the way you finance the church is let God's people give a percentage of their income. And sometimes they give that percentage plus some extra. That's the way God wants to finance the church. So that's what we're going to do it. Somebody calls me on the phone and said, we got a great fundraising program. I said, we don't do it. They said, what do you mean you don't do fundraising? You're a nonprofit organization. All nonprofit organizations do fundraising. We don't do it. I can almost see him saying, he just lied to me. They don't believe me. Almost every church I know, my home church, the church I grew up in, I was there the first 25 years of my life. Fundraising was a major part of what they did. The ladies group had a fundraiser. The youth group had a fundraiser. The men's group had a fundraiser. You know, the adult Sunday school classes had a fundraiser. And sometimes it just drove you nuts. You'd go to church and you gave your money to the Lord like the Lord said. And in addition to that, about a dozen people would come to you and want to say you something. And I don't like that. I don't like that because God's already provided us a way to support the church. You say, well, how about if it's not doing good? God still supplied us a way to support the church. It is superior. God's word is superior to any other method. I don't care whose method it is. Doesn't make any difference. It is superior. It is the right way to go. Now, you think, well, Lee, do you think these people who sell all this stuff are sinning? No, I don't think it's a sin. I just think God's given us a superior way to do it. He's given us the best way, so that's the way I want to do it. The Bible is the Word of God and our complete guide. Everything we need to know is right here. Now go back to your verse. What did he say? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. There are certain things that we do not change. There are certain things we do not change. I knew of a church back here in Cobb County several years ago that believed every Sunday you had to change something. I mean, the way to grow the church is every Sunday you had to change something. And so they got in the habit of, they were meeting in a room with stackable chairs, foldable chairs. And so this week they faced the chairs this way. The next week they faced the chairs this way. The next week they faced the chairs this way. The next week they faced the chairs this way. And that got a routine. They did it week after week after week. They just changed the way they faced the chairs. We changed something every week. While they changed something every week, they didn't change something every month, did they? They did it the same way over and over and over. I hear of churches saying, Lee, if you're going to be successful, what you got to do is you've got to have something new. You've got to have something new. Well, I'm not opposed to having something new, but there's one thing old that we're going to always have. There's one thing old that we're always going to have, and that's the Word of God. We're not going to change it. Just not going to change it. Be steadfast, immovable. Don't change from this. Jesus is the only way of salvation. The Bible is God's Word. Jesus is the only way of salvation. Jesus is God in flesh. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Our whole American society would like for us to change that. The popular thing now is to be tolerant of every belief. That anybody's religion is okay. Your religion's okay and your religion's okay. Everybody's okay. We're not going to change. Jesus is the only way of salvation. And Jesus, by the way, is the lightning rod. It's okay to mention God in most cases, but you can't mention Jesus. Jesus is the lightning rod, so you can't say that. We can't say that in our public schools. Jesus' death on the cross was there for our substitute for our sins. He died for our sins. I was reading a book not too long ago about how to grow the church, how to make the church bigger. And one of the ways you make the church bigger is make sure you don't have any crosses displayed in your church. You don't want any religious symbols. Don't think we're going to take the cross down, friend. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we may be able to reach thousands of people, but if we hadn't brought them to the foot of the cross, we hadn't done them any good. There are certain things we don't change. Be steadfast, immovable on certain things. Now, there are certain things that it's okay to change. I remember when we changed the Sunday morning service from 11 o'clock to 10:30. Some people thought we had taken a page out of the Bible and tore it out and threw it away. You got to have the church service, Sunday morning church service, at 11 o'clock. That's the rule. But it's okay to change that because that's not here. We could even have it at 9 o'clock. Some of you wouldn't get up and be here, but we could have it at 9 o'clock. So it's okay to change certain things. But there are certain things you don't change. Because it's here. Be steadfast, immovable. The next phrase is, not only are you steadfast and immovable on certain things, but you are abounding in the work of the Lord. What does it mean to abound? What does that mean? A lot. More than enough. Overrunning. It's the baker's dozen thing. How many is a baker's dozen? 13. Okay. One extra one, okay? So, abounding in what? In the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Doing more than I need to do for the Lord. What happens when I get discouraged? Do I do more or do I do less? Nearly always do less. I need to abound in the work of the Lord. Doing what the Lord wants me to do. Just being involved. Wednesday night, we did a little survey of the whole Christian life in three words. The whole Christian life in three words. And those three words are, a Christian is a person who is saved, sanctified, and serving. Saved, sanctified, and serving. First of all, he's saved. He's come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He's accepted Him. And he is in a saved relationship. He's off the road to hell and he's on the road to heaven. Second, he's sanctified, which means that he is becoming more and more like Jesus. He's growing in his Christian life. Spiritually, he's growing. He spent his whole life learning and following Jesus. As he learns new things from the Bible, he changes his knowledge, his attitude, and his action. He's being sanctified. And that should happen to every Christian. And we talked about a little bit that one of the problems is some Christians become a Christian and they grow a little while and they just stop right there and think they can stay there the rest of their life. You can't stay there. What happens if I don't grow? I die. And so every Christian should be growing Christian, be more and more like Christ. Every Christian. And the third part of that is you need to be serving. You need to find something to do. You need to be doing whatever God called you to do. Every Christian, saved, sanctified, and serving. And the serving part is what we're talking about here, abounding in the work of the Lord. What have you done for the Lord this last week? What have you done for the Lord this last week? You say, well, this last week was Christmas, so I didn't have time for the Lord. It's His birthday and all that good stuff, but I had other stuff I had to do. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Doing more than you need to do. Abounding in His work. Occasionally somebody said, well, Lee, I'm too old. I'm retired. You know, somebody needs to help me. I haven't even found the concept of retirement in the Bible. Maybe you can help me find it. I don't even know where it is. I mean, I can't spot it. So I don't think I ever retire from the Lord's work. Ever. Don't think that's a concept. I tell people, if the Lord was through with you, you wouldn't be here. If the Lord was through with you, you wouldn't be here. Just simply by the fact that you're here, God has something He wants you to do. So you need to be steadfast and immovable on certain things, and you need to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Next phrase is, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes it seems like it's useless. Sometimes you do things for the Lord and you try to help the Lord's people and you work and you do all that stuff and there seems to be no results. There seems to be nobody appreciates it. In fact, sometimes nobody even knows you're doing it. Or if they do know it, they don't act like they know it. You know, there's no results that you can see. My wife is a things person, and sometimes she talks about that she wants to do something in which she can see some results. I hadn't been real good in the last few months, but I used to go walking. I went to the track at the park. I walked for 2 miles and ended up at the same place I started. I didn't accomplish anything. It's like rocking in a rocking chair. Roy fixed my rocking chair. I like my rocking chair. But you can just rock and rock and rock. You know where you end up? Exactly the same place you started. It was a lot of fun, but you didn't get anywhere. And sometimes, it feels like what we do for the Lord is like that. Doesn't it? You work and work and work, and there's nothing. There doesn't seem to be anything. What does this verse say? What you do for the Lord is not in vain. What you do for the Lord is not in vain. It is not useless. It may be eternity before you know the results, but you're not wasting your time when you're working for the Lord. Hold your finger there and look in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. You may not see the results. You may not know the results. Nobody else may ever give you credit. But if you do it for the Lord, it's never useless. It's never in vain. It's never wasted. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Sometimes there are visible results. Sometimes there are no visible results. Doesn't make any difference. If I'm doing it for the Lord, just do it for the Lord. I ought to get my joy and my happiness just doing it for the Lord. Just because I'm doing it for Him. Whether I'm trying to work with the kids, sometimes our youth program is very discouraging. You work with the kids and they get old enough to get a driver's license or get a job, and what happens to them? They're gone. And you want to say, man, we spent hours working with those kids and teaching those kids and praying for those kids, and now they're away from the Lord and away from the church, and seemingly will never come back from what it just looks like at this point. And it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to get down in the dumps. I know some good Christian people who have raised children who have drifted away from the Lord. And you feel like everything I did was a waste. I thought I was doing the right thing. And I was trying to teach them the truth. I realized I wasn't perfect, but I was trying to teach them the truth. And the opposite's happening. What would Galatians 6:10 say about that? Don't grow weary. Let us not lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. The title of my sermon today is to keep on. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. No matter how it looks, you just keep on keeping on, doing the work of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. What you do for the Lord is never wasted. Never. Sometimes I'm reluctant to use the Apostle Paul as an example, because we somehow or another kind of put him on a pedestal and think, well, he was just different from us. But I do want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. As he came to the end of his life, and every time I read this passage, I just say, man, what a tremendous way to end. What a tremendous way to end. 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He looked at his death as though it was an offering to God, and he looked at his death as a ship departing, going somewhere. Isn't that a great way to look at death? It's not the end, it's the beginning. I'm leaving here, and I'm going somewhere. My departure, the time of my